Okay, all right, I got one. Would you rather be a hobo with a 5% chance of getting inherited by a rich guy, or be Hitler 2 years before the end of World War II? Because you know you're going to have to shoot yourself, but you still got 2 more years as Hitler.
If you're the hobo, do you have a place to sleep, like an underpass, or...
Different every night.
As Hitler, can I change certain policies so that maybe I'm looked on more favorably at the end of the war?
No, you already screwed up big time. Lot of dead Jews.
Am I a blue state or a red state hobo?
Blue, but Midwestern blue.
Oh, boy.
Oh, it's cold out there.
Am I allowed to alter the mustache?
Dude, why do you keep trying to make Hitler work?
Am I allowed to kill other hobos to increase my odds?
Kill anyone you like, you're a hobo.
Am I a walking hobo?
No, Quagmire and Cleveland are, but you're not.
So wait, I would also be a paralyzed Hitler?
Yeah.
Would I be a black Hitler?
Yes. No.
Oh, well, wait a minute. Now, how come I gotta be crippled Hitler and he's still white Hitler?
If you got such a problem with it, Joe, just beat a hobo.
This one isn't very fun.
And welcome to another edition of Papa's Basement. I'm your host, John Papagiorgio. With me today, no one, nada, zilch, just me. Another solo show. I believe Veronica's in Michigan this weekend. Will's out recording with his band, Gray Sky Eternal, if you want to look them up. They're pretty good. Pretty good. I don't know. Will's a gifted guitarist. I don't think you'll regret giving him a check. But I'm here, and that's all that matters, goddammit, right? I apologize, I didn't do a live show for you guys this Saturday. I'm recording this maybe an hour after I should have been on live. And I wish I had a better excuse, like I thought I couldn't handle it live alone, or I like taking breaks so I can get a sip of water, take a piss. But no, it was none of that. I thought I was going to go to the gym and be productive and try to drop a few. I showed up 20 minutes later, realized I was hungry after maybe 3-4 sets, 3 minutes on a treadmill. And I said, fuck it, you've earned this. I headed right the hell out and home. So that's why you didn't get a live show. Fatty thought he was going to gym it, and he didn't. Fatty literally ran home from the gym so he could eat waffles and syrup and these little Italian desserts that are lying around the house right now, these little bread straws, like a pastry straw filled with chocolate. Fucking divine. Fattest thing I've ever found. So goddamn good. Let me bring this bitch down. I'm sick of listening to the Ace. You can listen to us live every Saturday 3 to 4 p.m. except for the weekends where I think I'm going to go to the gym at fcac.org/WEBR. The show's website, inpapasbasement.com. Get a hold of me via Twitter at Papa's Basement. I love me some Twitter. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/papasbasement. And last but not least, find us on iTunes, the podcast, and subscribe to us that way. In theory, one of these days I will get iTunes ranked and that will mean more traffic. It kind of snowballs, but right now we're at the very bottom of that hill with like a little pebble of snow. We ain't got shit rolling. So please do look up Papa's Basement on iTunes. That would be awesome. And by the way, I'd like to apologize to the Asian woman, the Chinese lady, whom I told I would be in studio this Saturday, this 3 p.m., for her to watch as I recorded a live show. I kind of just remembered I told you that right now as I looked over at the live studio from the production studio. Lady, I apologize. I don't know your name. I can only assume you would want to learn how to podcast, to broadcast my American state secrets, and to bring this once great nation to its knees further for your godless hammer and sickle. But a promise is a promise, and I broke it, so I still feel like a piece of crap, and I apologize. With that out of the way, I need to first talk about the incredibly disgusting dump I walked in upon right before recording that I can still vividly taste in my mouth. To whomever laid that, congrats, sir, you win. I've never smelled anything so foul in my life, let alone in these studios. I'm pretty sure my teeth have decayed. I'm afraid maybe they've melted entirely, and I'm just talking through little exposed roots right now, hanging there, like the limbs of a weeping willow. Really, really so vile what you did there. But again, hats off, you won a prize. And if the guy is running the station or listening, I think we need to burn this bitch to the ground just to be safe. Because that was incredibly vulgar. A vulgar display of power out of that man's ass. Just words are failing me right now. I can still taste it 20 minutes later. How's that? How's that to convey just how disgusting and inappropriate and just 18 courtesy flushes shy of what it should have been this dump was? But it's all good. I'm here. And I want to talk to you. I want to do a show based upon an outline that I had for another recording that I made with Will a few days ago that wound up being entirely off topic. I know that's so hard to believe, given how ADD and rambling we all are. But the outline, not one subject on it was touched. So the entire thing was intact. I can do the whole show from that outline. By the way, that show I recorded with Will, incredibly dirty. Couldn't air that one live, unfortunately. Would have been nice to give you something instead of that pre-recorded episode that airs every Saturday at 3 p.m. on FCAC. Couldn't get it in because maybe the filthiest show we've done, and I don't say that lightly, but we were on a roll with that thing. Even I, as I was saying some of the things I said, I was thinking, my God, really, you're putting this into a show. But we did. And I'll have that one out to you guys on Thursday. This episode, even though chronologically it's the newest, will be going up Monday. I want to talk to you about three things that I've been utterly fascinated with in this week's news cycle. The first being the Duggar family. For those of you that don't know, they apparently have a show on TLC that I was not aware of until recently called 19 Kids and Counting. They're some fundamentalist Christians who, you guessed it, have 19 kids. I believe the show started off as 17 kids and counting, and then 18 kids, unless Wikipedia has led me astray. But why would it ever do that? We know the quality of Wikipedia is unquestionable, unassailable. So they're in the news because they had a 20th kid on the way. And even though 19 was a huge problem, a huge health scare for Mama Duggar, don't know her name, don't care. She's Duggar Pump, Michelle Duggar, that's it. I looked it up while I was talking to you. I cheated. Michelle Duggar, while pumping out number 19, whose name I don't know, nearly died. The kid was 4 months premature, something really ridiculous. Still has health issues to this day. Doctors said, for the love of God, do not have a 20th. Please use some form of contraception so that this doesn't happen again. But they're fundamentalist Christians and big believers in God calling the shots. So they got pregnant again because apparently it's God's call that Daddy Duggar doesn't pull out. And sure enough, the kid was miscarried. I don't know if you say mom miscarried or the kid was miscarried. Kid's dead. Kid was dead at a very early age. And they're in the news because they posted Mama Duggar handling the limbs of this little dead miscarried fetus. And it's just as creepy as it sounds. Get to talking about that in a bit. Also got Derek Jeter. I think I'm going to have to nominate Derek Jeter for the greatest man ever. Asterisk, manliest person to walk this earth. Because it turns out ever since he broke up with Minka Kelly, who, by the way, I don't think there's a hotter piece of ass walking the earth right now. And this guy said, you know what? Good, not great. That alone takes balls that I'm not packing. But it turns out Jeet has been tearing through pussy in New York since then. I believe the breakup was this summer. He's been slaying the ass left and right since. And sending them home with a gift basket. which has been rubbing some folks the wrong way, especially one girl who claims she got not one but two gift baskets because he didn't remember fucking her the first time. Get to that one, because really there's no better story this week, but I have to sandwich it in the middle. Last but not least, we have the story of Sam Hurd, a Chicago Bears wide receiver, now former Chicago Bears wide receiver, because in light of what I'm about to tell you, the team dumped his ass. Sam Hurd is being brought up on federal cocaine charges. And for those of you not deep in the drug game, not like me, a black rapper, so what would you expect me to do? I'm just from the streets, and that's how you got ahead. Sold crack rock or had a wicked jump shot. If you're brought up on federal charges, you're fucked, man. There is no way around that. You are fucked. Sam Hurd probably going away for a long, long time. Just a great story because you got a guy who's not doing much on the field. You're wondering yourself, what the fuck? What's this guy going to do when he retires? Well, it turns out he had a nice little plan lined up. It was called moving 1,000 pounds of weed a week. For those of you that don't know how much that is, it's a shit ton. I cannot articulate physically what 1,000 pounds of weed looks like. I can tell you an ounce fills up one of those Ziploc sandwich bags. So you take 16 of those, that's 1 pound. That's a lot of weed. That is a massive drug distribution network this guy was working with. I just find it hilarious that a guy who's part of this family-friendly NFL, at least that's the image that Goodell would love to project about this thing of his, is apparently one of Chicago's biggest drug dealers. But we'll get to that later. First, we're going to talk us some Duggars. Now, again, the Duggars are famous through this 19 Kids and Counting show, which, thank God, I can honestly say I've never seen an episode of. Now, I've seen the Jersey Shore, and I used to watch, what was the show on Fox about 10 years ago? Temptation Island, where it's just a bunch of people that fucked each other. And it was great because guys would have their girls cheat on them and then say, hey, this is payback for that time you cheated on me. And these cuck bastards would take their women back. It was hilarious. But I'm not huge into watching every show out there. Like, what is it? The Little People, Little World? Whatever the midget show is. I don't know that one. I've seen ads for it. I've never watched an episode. I've never seen Pawn Stars. I've never even seen Mythbusters. I don't get off on this. Give me a script. Show me craft. Show me acting. Real life is boring. I want to escape it with the TV, not watch more of it. Anyhow, these assholes are famous because they're fundamentalist Christians and they treat the wife's pussy like a clown car and just pump a kid out of it every year and a half, apparently, on average. And like I said before, with the 19th birth, Michelle, the mom, again, whose vagina, I don't really want to dwell on this, but really, after 19 kids, how much of a chick's body can even be left? It must be a show to climb on top of. And yet Daddy Duggar's doing it, and doing it good. Better trooper, bigger trooper than me. I couldn't bring myself to do it. After child number 19, Michelle almost died. And they said, you know what? Fuck it. It's God's will. Which, that's how you roll. That's how you roll. I'm not really going to impugn anyone's beliefs, except I will. They're morons. It's not God's will. Do what you got to do to stay alive, dummy. Child 19 was almost dead. Apparently still permanently fucked up, which I think is really, really warped, by the way. Because it's one thing for you to fuck around with your life, but to bring in a kid who's screwed up, that I, God help me, that I find rather unchristian. Rather boorish, selfish, and not in the example of Christ. But hey, since the Bible predates any sort of real contraception other than spray and pray, they're not going to use any. Sure enough, Baby 20 comes down the pike. And they lose him. Or her, I believe. Let's find the name of Baby 20. Jubilee Shalom Duggar. They lost the kid, this Jubilee Shalom, after, let's go with, hold on. I'm not going to say let's go with, and then pull it out of my ass. Boom. Second trimester. See? You wait 3 seconds, I'll get you the information. They lose Jubilee Shalom in the second trimester of this kid's life. And you figure, well, that's kind of sad, but one, what were they expecting to happen? And two, fuck it, they'll have another one coming down the pike soon enough anyhow. Callous as that is, I mean, that's just how it's going to go down. But that's not all that we got from the Duggars in Jubilee Shalom, because it turns out they printed up copies of pictures of Michelle handling this little dead fetus, grabbing it by the feet and hands, and then putting these weird captions, like almost in a MySpace font, like those emo, it's not about the number of breaths you take, it's about the number of breaths you take away. That kind of shit on a picture of them handling their fucking dead baby by the feet. Like one of them says, there's no foot too small that it cannot leave an imprint on this world. And they're holding this little dead fucking baby by the feet, like the way you'd hold a shrimp tail between thumb and forefinger before you bite in. There's another picture. It says Michelle holding Jubilee's hand. Exclamation point. And it's almost like the Michelangelo, you know, fucking with David touching God on the Sistine Chapel. It's this weird little mutant baby hand, quattro style, touching one joint of Michelle's fingertip. Like kind of like a high five maneuver almost. Like he's jumping up, Jubilee's jumping up and saying, right back at you, Mom. Which, now again, I'm not big into the whole God thing. I don't really believe in much. I believe in whatever you call it, if there's a belief system where you die and you rot and nothing happens and it's just like sleeping forever, I'm a big believer in that because it makes sense to me logically. And it fucking sucks because I'd like to live forever. I just don't think it works that way. So I guess that, in theory, because I haven't accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, makes me a bad person. And yet, somehow, I think them playing with their dead fucking baby and then taking pictures of it is pretty gross as well, too. Maybe I'm going out on a limb there, but even if you're a big believer in the soul and eternal life, etc., there's nothing really sacred to my knowledge about a corpse. I mean, you probably shouldn't, like, dig it up and have sex with it on Christmas Day in a cathedral. I'm sure there's some sort of rule against that. But playing with your dead medical waste little fetus rubs me the wrong way. I don't really see what was gained by that. Are we supposed to see that and go, oh, I'm not going to get an abortion because at 6 months they have little hands and feet and shit like that? I personally would have been less offended had they swaddled up a log, a food baby, and played with that, pinched that between thumb and forefinger. I just don't get the point of these photos. If people thought you were crazy and fundamentalist and a little off your rocker, guess what? You cemented their opinion and then some. And people in the movement who are big on Team J-Man, well, you don't need to show them a picture of your dead damn baby to get them more committed to the cause. No one's going to be teetering on the fence thinking, well, I'm not sure. On one hand, I kind of want to save myself for marriage, and on the other, I fucking love tits and wish to have sex immediately. But this picture of a dead baby's feet convinced me that's not the way to go. Not going to happen that way. I really, really, really want to understand the rationale behind these photos, because I don't. And they come from a world, again, it's not that I can't comprehend it, I just don't know much about it. I don't really know what they thought would be accomplished. Is it to say, hey, we made the right move by going through with having this kid? Because seeing a little dead baby, isn't that cool? I don't like it. Even if I am pro-choice, doesn't mean I want to see a dead baby. I want to see one if I paid to make the baby dead, if it's mine, and I don't want to handle that kid for 18 years. But other than that, I don't want to deal in dead babies. I don't want to say the word dead baby, and I'm saying it a lot right now. So nuts to the Duggars for making me do that. But not a big fan of these photos, which, again, just Google the words Duggar, D-U-G-G-A-R, dead baby photo, and you can flip around. They're on TMZ. It's really creepy. And if I'm missing the boat and I should see these dead baby feet and hands and think, oh, Jesus, I'm coming to you, let me know why. Let me know how it works that way, because I'm not grasping it. Moving on from dead babies to a man who's splattered thousands of baby seeds across thousands of faces, I want to talk Derek Jeter, shortstop for your New York Yankees, even if you're not a Yankees fan. They're your New York Yankees. Suck on that. And before I continue with the story, I want to put this out there. It's a bit like coming out of the closet, especially given my former workplace, which was a Washington, D.C. area sports station, filled with a bunch of guys who grew up watching their beloved Orioles. And again, I like me the Orioles too. And I realize what I'm about to say is a bit like saying, well, I love the Redskins, but that Dallas Cowboys squad, not so bad either. I like the Orioles, but I love the New York Yankees. They are my baseball team. And if you're wondering why, hey, John, you seem like you got it together. You're not a colossal, unforgivable prick. And you're not from the five boroughs, so what is your excuse? Well, my excuse is this. My dad was an immigrant, fresh off the boat from Greece. I was not raised to enjoy any one team. I guess the Redskins were huge in my house, because you live in D.C., that's the one team, by law, you have to care about. Otherwise, we didn't give a shit about sports. I don't know what my dad did sports-wise as a kid. For all I know, he was, like, I'm guessing he was into soccer, because that's what they all love all over Europe. So maybe he was into, like, the Thessaloniki sand squids or some shit. I don't know what teams they have over there. They certainly don't have baseball in Greece. My dad was old as fuck, too. So even if they have baseball now, they didn't when he was a kid. Guy grew up during German occupation. If you want to do that fucking math, he was old, man. And I got into T-ball and then AAA and all that Little League crap. And I figured, what the hell? I have to pick a team I like. And I would learn about every player who was old and famous, because even back then, I guess I had a bit of a history student streak to me. And I'd be like, ah, Lou Gehrig, he was a Yankee. Babe Ruth, the king of them all, he was a Yankee. Mickey Mantle, well, shit, he was a Yankee. And I came to think, you know, DiMaggio, a Yankee. After a while, I thought Yankee just meant like all-star team. How the fuck, listening to this as a kid, and you want to ally yourself with the biggest, most powerful team out there, how, all things being equal, and having an innocent heart not filled with the jealous hate of those that don't have as many pennants, how are you going to pick a squad other than the Yankees? It's simple logic to want to hitch your star to that, to those winners. So yeah, ever since then, I've been a loyal Yankees fan, and I started when they sucked, and they had that piece of shit pitcher, Tim Belcher, and his Buck Showalter managing. My favorite Yank was Don Mattingly, so I predate the dynasty years. I loved them when they blew. So when Jeter came around, things started to change. It was a welcome surprise. I was a big... To say I was excited to have a winning team, because the Redskins had already dropped off at this point, bit of an understatement, man. I grew up, my first 10 years of life, the Redskins were in the Super Bowl like every other goddamn year. All of a sudden, after 91, that was taken away from me, and come 96, it starts coming back. It was very cool. So I love Jeter. Even if he's not my all-time favorite, I like the dude a lot. He did a lot for the Yankees, obviously. And for that, I'm grateful. So we got that out of the way. I want to tell you about why Jeter's in the papers lately, especially because it isn't baseball season. Well, quite simply, it's because Derek Jeter has balls like the bearings they put on a tank's turret. Just botchy ball-sized testicles. Ever since he broke up, he was not dumped. At least I don't think he was. He's not dumped by Minka Kelly, gorgeous Minka Kelly. He broke up with that. He said, you know what? I know you're a 10. The number 10 doesn't even articulate what you truly are, but we're going to just leave it at 10. But I'm sick of it. I've had it every which way. I need something fresh. I need some strange. Because however sexy you are, strange is just that much sexier. And so he gives her the boot. He gives this fucking prized possession the boot. And since then, he's been tearing through it. You can only imagine what he's tearing through. I doubt any of it's below 9.5. Anything that he's fucked, if that waltzed into your life, you would swear up and down she was the one. She would be that hot. You would say, there's no way I'm going to ever catch anything this good again. I'm with this. I am team this piece of pussy. And that's what Jeter's probably getting on a nightly basis. The life he leads, incomprehensible. I simply don't know what it is to live that way. And what's even better, before this, the guy, I thought at least, was like a serial monogamist. He used to fuck Mariah Carey for a couple years. I think he was with a Venezuelan Miss Universe winner or contestant for a while. But he was always with them for a couple years at a time, like a George Clooney. So it's really even more fascinating to me that after all this time, he's hit the whoring wagon. He's hit the hoe trail and done it with a passionate vengeance. Because allegedly, it's like two or three broads a week. And that wouldn't be a story in and of itself, except one of them has gone rogue, gone snitch, and reported the fact that he's sending them all home with a swag bag. They wake up the next day, and he says, hey, that was great. Thank you for your time. Thank you for the use of your vagina. I wish the best to you and your vagina for the rest of their days. As a token of my appreciation, here's a free car to get you the hell out of here. Free car ride. He's not giving away cars. He's not Elvis rich. Here's a free car ride home. And in this car, you will find a basket that contains autographed memorabilia, typically an autographed baseball. And I'm going to say, let's go with a fruit spread too, because I got kiwi on the brain right now. And one of these girls got a little sore because he's half black. No, not sore in that sense. Sore because Derek had fucked her a few months earlier and given her the same gear. And this guy's been racking it up so much that apparently he couldn't recall that he'd already fucked this girl. These women, again, every single one of them must be so mind-numbingly hot that if you spent a night with them, you could probably detail the sound of their every breath for the rest of your days. That's how activated and stimulated your brain would be. You would be a living hard drive. You would recall everything from that night. This guy can't even recall the fact that he's already had sex with this girl and sends her home with the same prize bag. And so she's like, you know what, fuck it. And she rats him out to the New York Post for his behavior. To which I say, you're a sore loser, bitch. You don't even have to view yourself as a loser, although I suppose you should, because the guy played and laid you and then kicked you out the next day. But I'm sure Jeets is pure class about it. As much as a one-nighter can be class about being a one-nighter, and again, you're not sleeping with this guy because you like his personality or because he won the Nobel Peace Prize. You're fucking a ball player. You want to fuck a ball player, he can throw around some loot, and it's a famous notch on your bedpost. So don't act like a saint yourself, whore. But the dude's doing nothing wrong. He's not cheating. He's doing it on the DL. It's all very low-profile stuff. Not getting the girl's pictures in the paper. And what's more, how cool is it getting a swag bag after the fact, the contents of which I can only assume are worth a couple hundred at least, a Derek Jeter autographed ball? He could send you home with nothing. He could send you home so that you're wringing out your hair to get his seed out of it so that you can try to sell that on eBay without a certificate of authenticity, by the way. I'm sure this ball you can actually do something with. Maybe give it to your kid. I don't know what the hell you want to do with it, but you can do something. He doesn't have to give you crap, lady. He's already shown you a nice night, and he's an athlete, even if he's 40-something, so I'm sure he bangs decently and you had a fun time. But on top of all that, you're getting a ball. And I'm sure the basket itself is high quality. Later, you can stuff it with crayons and Tic Tacs and whatnot. So just be thankful you're getting anything, other than gonorrhea. And Derek, just between you and me, I want you to know that I've gone through something similar. Yeah, it happens. Yeah, I'm that big a Mac. I don't like to brag about it. But my little white trash small world version of it, sometimes girls that I've flirted with online, they'll change their Twitter picture. And you know what? I'll go, oh, new pussy. And I'll start flirting with that too. And they'll remind me, they'll be like, hey, you know, you've already tried to pick me up, man. What gives? And I have to kind of sheepishly bow out and say, oh yeah, I did remember. You know what? I'm just saying all this because I like your new photo. So Jeets, just want you to know someone else is out there for you, man. A little bit of solidarity here from Papa's Basement. Let's bring this bitch home talking about former Bears wide receiver Sam Hurd and the drug charges he's facing that will probably send him away to federal pound-me-in-the-ass prison for, if not the remainder of his natural life, a very long time. Hurd was charged with, I believe, conspiracy? What? I don't know. How's that for listening to me for all the facts? Don't know what exactly he was brought up on. Federal cocaine charges, made an attempt to purchase drugs from a supplier in North Texas. So I doubt he's been charged with anything just yet. I'm guessing it's going to be conspiracy to distribute both cocaine and marijuana, because it turns out Hurd was looking to score $500,075 worth of coke and weed every week, which is insane. The figures apparently boil down to, in terms of the weed at least, 1,000 pounds a week. Again, I can't articulate to you how many... Well, I can tell you how many pounds of weed 1,000 pounds is. It's 1,000. I'm a shit broadcaster. Bear with me. I can't tell you the size, the volume that 1,000 pounds of weed represents. In my day, when I mayor, may not have dealt a little weed around high school. I'm sure the statute has since run out. A quarter pound, and this is by 1998 prices, a quarter pound and its bulk discount was running $300. And like I said, that looked like half of a loaf of bread almost in terms of size. That's a quarter pound. And I get it, I'm white. I probably wasn't getting the best deals from these guys, but they liked me well enough to not whore me too hard either. Apparently, Sam Hurd was moving such volume that in 2011 prices, he was getting entire pounds for $300. Which I can only assume at a street level, you could sell probably in the neighborhood of like $3,000 if you nickel and dime it up enough. This guy was heavy in the fucking game. Like, he really fancied himself a drug kingpin, which is hilarious because I don't really know any drug kingpin that's got, apparently he had one henchman by the name of TL who was acquiring all this shit for him. And the instant TL was busted, he ratted out Hurd, who was immediately above him in this quote-unquote criminal empire. Anyone worth a damn who's selling anything in any volume knows that you have layers upon layers upon layers between you and the actual stuff being touched. And given you're looking to buy over half a mil in product a week, that must be insane profit. He could have afforded countless buffers between him. But he's such a dumb jock, such a fucking lunkhead, that he couldn't put two and two together and probably figured he was saving himself money by only having one buffer. And by the sound of it, he was distributing much of this himself to other guys in the NFL. In other words, directly connectable with the act of dealing these drugs. You don't have to be Walter White smart to figure out you don't fucking do that. You don't sell your own product. What cracks me up is he probably thought he was some piece of entrepreneurial shit. A real damn genius. Because most of these jocks have to fall back on doing a car dealership or a restaurant. Both of them are money sieves. But think about it. As an athlete, you've got so many guys bleeding you for loot. You're paying your taxes. You're probably fucking around a little bit. Even if you're making pretty good money, and I believe Hurd was clearing minimum half a mil, you got to figure he'll be broke within a decade if he's not doing something afterward. And there's not a lot that's appealing left to these guys. Like I said before, it's typically a car dealership or they try to get into broadcasting and they're dime a dozen because guess what? They haven't been broadcasting. It would be like if I tried to go on a football field right now. It's just not how it works. You got to pay your dues. You got to do a lot to get good at it. So he figured, hey, what the hell? I'm going to deal drugs. Maybe he did it on a limited basis before he got his NFL income. I don't really know. But he's stupid about dealing drugs. I suppose I don't really have a problem with him dealing drugs. Everyone can get into how drugs ruin lives. I believe weed's pretty recreational, even if I don't dabble. I don't see anything serious about smoking a little weed. Same with coke. You know who throws their life down the shitter for coke? Rich white people. Fuck them. Let them have fun if they want. Dealing heroin, dealing crack, that's a little different. These are drugs that, as far as I'm concerned, they should be legal, but that's another podcast unto itself. What I don't get, though, is didn't anyone pull him aside and tell him, hey, you know what? You probably shouldn't be running this product yourself, which is what they think he was doing, by the way. This TL guy was busted by an undercover informant. Apparently, I think on July 27th, telling the informant that he needed the product so that Hurd could take it up north, and then Hurd was headed to Bear's training camp on the, I believe it started the 30th. So they can kind of like piece together very much that this guy was looking for titanic bags of weed and coke so that Hurd could continue to distribute once he got back to Chicago. I mean, it's just all so stupidly and grimly traceable back to him. I don't get it. Doesn't anyone... all I can figure is, what the fuck? He thought he was saving money and being smart by not having a lot of guys in the loop who could rat him out. But ironically, it's the fact that it's all traceable to him immediately that's going to bring the dude down. I don't get why anyone would deal in that amount and not think they're going to get busted. And again, I suppose you can explain it all away as, hey, he's a dumb fucking jock. Duh. Of course he's going to get eventually busted, and he didn't think twice about what he was doing. But whenever you're moving that much product, something is going to come back on you. The cops bust people for their living. When you're going out there, it's not like there are classes to take in drug dealing. There's not a major in drug dealing you can take in college. Unless you've started at the very, very bottom as a youth and you've learned every in and out, even then, I wouldn't recommend it. But maybe then you've got a fighting chance to avoid being caught making one of the millions of mistakes that must be routine that these cops are intimately aware of because it's their fucking job day in, day out to simply check for them. And you just have to fuck up once to get caught. Once, and the game's over. The cops can fuck up a million times. It's almost like reverse terrorism, where the terrorists can get caught thousands of times, but if they get through once, then they're quote-unquote successful. They've hit a target. And the entire Western world goes, oh, how did this happen to us? Being a cop in that scenario is like getting to be the terrorist. You can fuck up a million times, but as long as you snag the guy once, you're considered a winner. That's all you had to do. I don't like those odds, man. Those are shit odds. That's why you're not going to catch me dealing titanic amounts of drugs. Instead, I'll be trying to get rich via this crappy podcast and my website, inpapasbasement.com. And with that, listening to the music, we got a little Surf Rider playing. I do believe that is the end of the show. I want to thank you guys who made it this far. God bless you. You got the stamina of a workhorse. My name's John Papagiorgio. If you want to get a hold of me on Twitter, especially if you're a comely young lass, because apparently that's my proclivity, according to what I said earlier in the episode, hit me up at Papa's Basement. Hit up the show's website, inpapasbasement.com, as well. It's chock full of every other episode of this show I've ever recorded, not to mention my writing. Find us on Facebook as well, facebook.com/papasbasement. Until next week, I'm out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guests tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb.